My name is Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk is my husband. Charlie always said that when he was gone, he wanted to be remembered for his courage and for his faith. Now and for all eternity, he will stand at his Savior's side, wearing the glorious crown of a martyr. Charlie loved life. He loved his life. He loved America. But most of all, Charlie loved his children, and he loved me with all of his heart. And I knew that. Every day I knew that. The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. They should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife.
Well, Charlie, you didn't deserve it. May God bless your family.
The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry.
People across the country are gathering, holding memorial services and vigils to honor Charlie Kirk's memory and his message.
To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. It will become stronger, bolder, louder, and greater than ever. I promise I will never let your legacy die. I won't. I promise I'll make Turning Point USA the biggest thing that this nation has ever seen. Rest in the arms of our Lord. As he blankets you with the words I know your heart always strives to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Charlie, you put all this together, just, my man. Let's hear it.
I am just humbled by God.
That's all I can say.
It's done. I want you to remember that we did not earn this. This is God's mercy on our country.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came to me yesterday, and I wasn't expecting it. I had no thought about it. And he said, I want you to tell the people to take off for Sunday night and encourage them to attend the memorial service. It's 4 hours long. It starts at 2 o'clock. President Trump will be speaking. J.D. Vance will be speaking. Chris Tomlin will be leading worship. What's the other artist? Brandon Lake. There'll be a lot more people from all over the world. I believe today is a significant day in America. I believe that the power of God is going to use these things to continue the cause and even spark revival. Hallelujah. One of the things that Charlie would say, and you say, well, you must have been a follower. I honestly, to my embarrassment, I really knew very little about him because he's, like I was saying to the team today, and Harry said, well, it's understandable. He was mostly on social media, and I don't have social media, nor do I follow. But I can judge things in the spirit. You don't spend every day, all day long of your life praying in the Spirit and your face in the Word of God that you don't are able to discern things. Charlie was quoted, one thing he would say is, politics is peanuts compared to Jesus Christ. This man was not killed for political reasons. He was martyred for speaking the truth. Make no mistake about it. The truth is that he stood for righteousness and holiness. And because of that, he was martyred. But understand this, he would have said, because of his love for people, he would have said in his dying breath, the same thing Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, well, he was political, but just like when Homer stood up here several months ago and was answering some questions, trying his best to help people that had some kind of, well, this is about Trump. That's about, I don't even know for sure. I'm not sure this man is born again. I hope he is. He seems like it. I'm not following him as a spiritual leader. I'm following because he has the moral dictates. But Charlie was following Christ. But what he would say concerning politics was not politics. It was the Word of God. He didn't have an opinion. It was the Word of God. Listen, heaven help you. Now I'm going to talk straight. Heaven help you if you don't have a short answer for people who are looking for answers. If a Gen Z comes up, 13 to 28, comes up and says to you, if I do this, if I keep doing this, am I going to make heaven? If you're a pontificator and you have something to say intellectually because you want to be a part of an acceptance, heaven help you. Heaven help you. Because if you cannot tell them grace and truth, the Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. The Gen Zs want truth. They don't want pandering. They don't want you to pander to them so that you can, so somehow that you can make them feel good. If you can't tell them, look, he loves you. He loves you and he'll accept you just the way you are. But if you continue in this, you will die and you will go to hell. If you have a long, well, it's not that easy to answer. Let me give you, if you want to circumvent heaven, help you. If you help send somebody to hell because they walk away and they're wondering, well, maybe I'm okay. If they walk away and even if they're angry at you, but you in love have said, yes, he loves you. Yes, he'll accept you. But you have to change if you don't give them that. Then you have become an enemy to the cross. Straight talk. But you're big enough to receive it. Hallelujah. So this day is not about Charlie. It's about the outpouring. It's about revival. It's about truth. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion together as a family in just a little while. I don't even know if the service will go as long as it normally does. But today is a day where something starts that has already started in our nation. And the presence of God is going to fall on you, your families, in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I pray over this congregation and those that are watching. You know how much I love them. And I know how much you love them. You love them far more than I do. Bring us into this outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. Let your glory fall upon us in ways like we've never seen before. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. Harry, just go to the piano. Let's all stand one more time. And if you have something to give this morning, you can bring it or you can give it in the back. Hallelujah. I think we should go a little light. So we'd have a little heavy. Thank you, Jesus. Grace and truth. Hallelujah. Our kids will be being dismissed. You need to one more time in the spirit of love tell somebody you love them. That means cross the aisle and share Jesus one more time. Just tell them, I didn't get enough of your loving to start with. I'm coming through the camera. Hallelujah. And if you have something to give, bring it forward. Brazil conference that starts the very last Monday in this month, and we'll go through the first part of November. So, hallelujah. Homer, I haven't scheduled you, but mark that Wednesday night down. It's good to do all your thinking in front of everybody, right? So, praise God. Glory be to God. We worship you. We don't move too fast. Move too fast. You can get it. You can move out of the spirit. Worship you, Jesus. I'm going to have Rex and Marty come in a little while and help me. I've asked them to help in the communion this morning. I'm giving all of you out there time to get your elements. Well, thanks, thanks to Harry, we sent out a text yesterday. Worship you. You guys can take that back. Thank you. Hallelujah. I've got all kind. I promise you, I'm studying. I got all kind of notes on Romans. I just work here. He's told me all the services are his, but it's like he keeps saying, "I want Sundays." Like, okay, I know what that means. Sometimes if he gives me something and I do my notes, but my Saturdays are just pray in the spirit and worship. And he doesn't even say anything until sometimes he'll say something just before service. I love that. I just love it. Keeps me on my toes. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How bad would it be if we just sat here and worshiped the whole service? How awesome. Hallelujah. I glorify you, Jesus. Wednesday night was incredible prophecy. We'll get that out to you soon. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Well, let's pray for the event. Lottie said, let's pray for the event. Now, Sarah's parents are going. They live right there, and I've been to their house. Privileged to be at the Glimba estate. Hallelujah. The stadium is where the Cardinals play. I think it'll hold 76,000, but they estimate way more than that. They've got another hockey arena that'll, I think, is it hockey or?
Hockey.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That they'll try to take the overflow. I'm guessing it may be. It's going to be watched worldwide. ABC will cover it, and Fox, of course. So, may have more viewers than the Super Bowl. We'll see what happens. Hallelujah. Could you, now Candy's song might be replacing this, but could you give me my oldie? But we pray for the event. In Jesus' name, release thousands and thousands of angels. Thousands of angels that attend with Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Call our president, our vice president, filled with the Holy Ghost in the days ahead. But it's not about politics, Father. As Charlie said, it's politics is peanuts compared to Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Bring a peace to Phoenix, to Glendale. May the power of Holy Spirit be there, and may this really be a turning point. Millions and millions of young people that are really going to be carrying the load of this outpouring. Give us the harvest. Jesus, give us the harvest. More than anything else, give us this, Lord Jesus. Sing the song, Harry.
You will be.
Yes, Jesus. Just worship. We don't need to get in a hurry.
Lamb on the throne.
Yes, Jesus.
Gladly bow my knee and I worship you alone. Forever you will be. The Lamb upon the throne. Gladly bow my knee and worship you alone, Lord, forever you will be. The Lamb upon the worship you alone, and I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great. In grace. praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Forever you be,
Jesus.
Worship you alone, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's not about Charlie today, it's about Christ. And the Gen Zs that 13 to 28 year olds. It's amazing how quick generations are cut now. If you're 30 years old, you're not even a Gen Z. You're old. Hallelujah. It's not even about the anger. If there's anger, let it be righteous anger. Father, we're asking, I know Charlie would ask this, give us a great, incredible harvest of the transgender, the LGBTQ plus. They're coming out. They're coming out. Give us this great harvest. We've got the answers. It's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Stay in the Spirit, people. Not talking about this service. Yes, stay in the Spirit. But stay in the Spirit. You're walking in life. Help us birth this. Some watching, some here maybe have exceptions with these things, but I want to tell you how much I love you. And I never seek anything except to share the truth. I seek no opinions. I don't have an opinion. What's your opinion? I don't have an opinion. I go to the Word of God. Stay in your, we're teaching 2 Timothy on Wednesday night. I've never done that. Just go through a book. Robert, that's up here, his wife told me after, oh, I just love that. She goes, are you going to be doing? I said, well, thank you, ma'am. She goes, I love all that background and what you were sharing, and just line on line, verse on verse. But one of the things about Timothy, it's amazing to me, is Timothy, and it's just incredible. The more you study it, the more you meditate it, and then you study it, because then I study the Greeks. But he had a continual message of, to Paul had a message to Timothy. He was writing his last will and testament. It was kind of like, I'm leaving. So boy, you better believe the last words of an He wasn't a dying man. He was a man that was about to be martyred. But he kept telling Timothy in about four places, he kept getting over to Timothy, don't get involved. Don't get involved. And I'm not talking about we can't get involved and have a voice. But he was saying, no man that warreth and competes for the mastery, and our mastery is to receive an outpouring. No man that does that entangles himself with affairs of this life that may prove himself to be an excellent, well-worthy soldier. If any man trains for the mastery, the top prize, he must train lawfully. Well, lawfully is this, that you don't become entangled. And he was continually telling Timothy, there are going to be so many got yous, so many this and this and snags and this. And he was telling him, Timothy, don't get involved in endless genealogies. Don't get involved in the striving about words. I always thought, what is words? What is words? How can a word offend anybody? And then I began to study the Greek, and the Greek says it is trifle disputings. Things that don't matter, trifle things. Like, what does this have to do with little kids getting out of a wheelchair? Now that's the power. And he said, Timothy, there's going to be a lot of gotchas. It's like walking through a briar patch. Man, you got to tiptoe through the tulips if you're going to get through there, because there's going to be a lot of snags. And it doesn't matter who you are, pastor, elder, people of all any place of where you're. The enemy of our soul and the world is trying to continually. It's not that you have to go brain dead and go numb and say like a zombie, hear no evil, see no evil. But once your emotions begin to be pulled, and once it begins to be a thought, if the fulcrum of your thought life begins to be inundated with that's what you think on instead of the Word and Jesus and truth, then something's beginning to be a debate. And Timothy, Paul was continually, he reiterated to Timothy, don't be a debater. Leave them in their debate, walk away. And if anybody had the intellectual capabilities to be able to argue well, it would have been Paul. He didn't want to debate him. But he kept telling Timothy, don't be a debater. Don't be a debater. It's okay to say what you believe the Word. Don't give your opinion. Well, the Word, this is what the Word says. Some people are fueled. It's. But you know what? I know I haven't arrived. My God. There are so many things I'm working on. But not the, you know, sometimes people, not the bad stuff. My wife can believe that when I watch a football game, if I watch one, I'm not looking at the cheerleaders. Any one of my grandkids or my wife, there's no inhibition for me to flip them my cell phone and walk away. There's no, well, you can clear history. I don't clear anything. My life, your life should be an open book. Kids should be able to look at whatever you're looking at. I'm not trying to start division at home, but if your husband protects his cell phone or his, the devil tried to take me out on that, on his computer. If there's something that he's like, I got business on there that you don't need to look at. Oh, yeah, he probably does. Naughty business. We're just getting real, people. Loves everybody. Okay. So he said, go to the Word. So I go to the Word. Go to John chapter 8. Hallelujah. That's the only woman in here that can put her hands all over me. All right. John chapter 8. Let's look at verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, look at this. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I mean, they just walked in right on a... This is all staged. They had done this to set up something they could accuse Jesus. The Bible doesn't say, but I can just almost guarantee she was a harlot. And they set her up. Isn't it amazing that they knew the moment, the time, and the place? She didn't know what she was walking into. She just thought she was doing what she normally does. She didn't know this day that religion was going to take her and pull her into the arena of audience, and people were going to be standing there, and her life was in danger. Always wondered, and you've heard the question asked many times before, where was the man? According to the law, they were both supposed to be. But the Pharisees arranged it like he probably made money off of it too. You do this, we'll cover you. You just take off. You just leave. Don't show your face. They drug her as a woman into this audience because Jesus is there in the outward court of the temple. They say that she was caught in the very act. And they were right in this, is that Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Remember grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth. Grace and truth. Can you say that with me? Grace and truth came by Jesus. The problem with the modern day woke church is grace and no truth, or very little truth. An accentuation on the grace that has left truth void in their message. Jesus was a man circumspect under God, walking in grace and truth. So they think they have him. So how are you going to get out of this? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Do you think he was anxious? Absolutely not. His father prepared an answer. So when they continued, he's writing, and they're like, are you not hearing us? Why are you not responding? They continued, what do you want us to do with her? Are you going to go against the law? Are you going to turn her loose? So they continued asking him, and he lifted up himself and said unto them, incredible wisdom, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now that's grace. And boy, the church knows grace. They can sure quote that part. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone from them. Of course, his disciples are still there in the audience of the people. And the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, here's grace. Here's grace. Neither do I condemn thee. Hallelujah. Here's our message to the Gen Zs. Here's our message to Tyler Robinson, who was having a homosexual affair with his gay transitioning into a woman person who shot and killed and executed Charlie Kirk. Jesus's love for you is acceptance now. Neither do I condemn thee. That's the grace. And that's usually about where the church stops right there. But Jesus was a man of truth. And in the same breath, while he's saying, neither do I condemn you, he says these powerful words, go and sin no more. In other words, stop it today. Stop it today. It's over. Grace and truth and mercy has come to you. Stop it. He continued to speak in the same breath. She said to him, go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace and truth. Give them grace and truth. He accepts you just as you are. But if you continue, you'll not enter into heaven. You'll burn in the lake of fire. If you give them grace without truth, you've only given them half, and you've been part of the cause of their end time destruction. Well, I love them. No, you don't love them. You don't love them at all. If you don't tell them the other part of the equation. Jesus was saying this to this woman, I love you. I don't condemn you today. But go and sin no more. And anybody that follows me, I am the light of this world. In other words, my truth, my righteousness is the light. And anybody that follows me will not walk in darkness. You can't live a life of darkness. I'll guarantee you this woman went on to, after the resurrection, to be born again. She may have been part of some of the women that we read about. I don't know. I can't prove that. But in the same hypothesis, you got to understand this. If she went on and went back to doing what she was doing and did not stop, she's in the lake of fire. Although she once received mercy. Do you know that, I'm talking straight to you these days because it's so important. Do you know there's people that have been born again, prayed in tongues, prophesied, that are in hell today? And if you don't think that can't happen, then you obviously do not know the Word of God. In other words, you can't live your life in sin. Why did you get saved? Why did you confess Christ? Christ is the coming out. Christians do an incredibly horrible job in what they think is love. They think in terms of like, I'll love. I don't want to hurt their feelings. No, you're going to hurt their eternity. It's preached from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. If a person in here is living with someone and they have not repented to the point that they get married after they know, you're living in sin and you will lose your salvation. And I am instructed out of 1 Corinthians 5 to tell the whole church this. Love everybody. But you are not, you say, well, pastor, you can't tell me what to do. I'm telling you by the Word of God. You're not allowed to invite them to a barbecue, out to eat for lunch. Why? Because pastor, then they're going to feel shamed. That's exactly what Paul wanted. That they had a godly shame to say, what's wrong with me? There's, as a human being, nothing wrong with you. God loves you. But you are confessing Christ, and yet you're living habitually in the world. We say, pastor, is that, I've got sinner friends that I go, listen, he actually said that. He actually said this. It doesn't apply to non-believers. I can go out with a couple. I mean, I don't really have, but I can go out with a couple or a guy that I know that's living with a girl or whatever. If they want to buy me a steak, that's fine. I won't drink any drinks, but I'll eat their steak. But they're not confessing. I'm born again. I'm going. But if a Christian, he says, this is his specific directions. He said, if a brother wants somebody that calls himself a brother in Christ, then he said, you're not even to fellowship with them. You're not even to eat with them. Does this doesn't sound like normal church, does it? But we're getting ready for revival. Word of God. This is just Word of God. I want you to kind of flip your thinking this morning, if you would, please, as we go into this communion. Yes, unity among us is so important. It's one of the most vital things that's possible. It's a catalyst for outpouring revival. The first Pentecost, we're about to enjoy a second Pentecost. Incredible. The first one was initiated by them all being in one mind and one accord. Now, you can't dictate that. And I'm also convinced that there will never, ever be a point in which everybody's minds will ever be totally in agreement. But I am convinced that there will be a caucus of elders that will align themselves so perfectly in the mind of Christ through fasting and prayer and giving of thanks, which is private worship, that they will be the catalyst that will bring in the outpouring. And it's not that the fringes don't matter, everybody matters, but it really doesn't matter as in the authority that brings things in. Pastor, I don't agree with you. That's okay. It's okay. But your authority really doesn't. Your disagreement really doesn't matter. And you matter. You matter. But your authority doesn't X out true authority. How do you know that? Because according to 1 Corinthians, Paul said that there was above 500 people that heard the last admonition of the Lord. What did he tell them? Go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. That was what he was saying in those days. Above 500, what's above 500? It's more than 500 people. I don't know how many, but above 500 heard Jesus in those 40 days that he were walking around on the planet. Pentecost was 50, of course, from Passover. So it was 10 days from the time that he left to the time of the outpouring. 10, 12, I wouldn't argue that. But it was a short span. But he's telling everybody, go wait. That he didn't say how long. He just said, go wait. 500 people heard that. Then, when he says that, the Bible says, a cloud enveloped him, and he's taken up. 500 people are watching this. A cloud envelops him, and he's taken up. And I'm sure everybody's in like, oh my God, this is incredible. And while they're staring, then these two, calls them men, but they're angels, men in white apparel begin to speak to them, like get their. They're watching him. He's getting higher and higher, and it's like a helium balloon. He just keeps going higher until you can't see him anymore. And they say, Why are you still standing here gazing? The same Jesus that you saw leave. Aren't you glad? Our Messiah is not in a tomb. We have witnesses that wrote it down. They saw him leave alive. He ascended. Hallelujah. He ascended. So why are you standing here? So 500 people, I don't know if that was, I don't know if they counted children, probably not, probably a 500 adults, heard him say, go wait. How many showed up? 120. 380 people plus found something else to do. When Jesus tells you, and then he does an incredible, I mean, Peter Pan's never done anything like this. He's just like, oh my God, they're watching him, and then two angels appear and they say, go, and 380 people find a reason why it's not necessary to take their life and put it on hold to see what he's saying. What is the promise of the Father? All I know is, are you going? I would go, but... And you think about it, just think about it for a minute. It's really... I was thinking about this last night, meditating this scripture. It's really coincidence with Mark chapter 4, where Jesus said there were four types of ground. And really, only a quarter of the four people groups ever really went in and made it. First group zeroed out at the moment of there was no conception at all. The other two, trials, persecutions, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, all kind of things just stopped. But that's only, really, that's only, you know, a quarter, right? So that's pretty close. 120 out of above 500 is about a quarter, if you look at it in that sense of the word. That's just interesting. That won't, I didn't charge you anything for that. Can you imagine 120 people? But they, what they did was enough. I'm not diminishing anybody in here. You may be young, old in Christ. You're never, I'm not gonna live in some kind of fairy tale world that once we lift the cup today, that everybody's always gonna be in agreement. Nor that everybody's in agreement with the truth that I've brought forth today. But I will say this. Those that choose to go all the way carry with them a level of authority that will be enough. It will be enough to receive the outpouring. So what I want you to flip your mind on today is not just us. Let's go nuclear. Let's go bigger. Let's go to a place where we're thinking bigger. That as we receive communion today, that we're receiving it for our nation. And we're receiving it for all of the people that don't agree with us, for all the people that do agree with us, all the people that need Christ. Because that's the big thing. Christ. That they come in. And that this is one more, if I can use that term, no pun intended, but turning point for our nation. Hallelujah. Don't compromise anything, but walk in love. Don't compromise, but walk in love. Hallelujah. When you compromise, you lose. In your marriages, if you compromise, somebody said you should compromise. Yes. Give in to the restaurant that she wants, how she wants to decorate the house or spend the place of vacation. Compromise, compromise, give in, give in, give in. But the moment that you start compromising truth, and you as a husband or a wife won't stand up in loving kindness and say, honey, I don't feel good about what you're doing. This isn't the word of God. Well, I just want to keep peace in the home. Your compromise will eventually, I'm prophesying, it will diminish. And if you think your marriage is safe and you continue to compromise so it can come together, you'll eventually either lose it or be so neutralized. You'll be so neutralized. Give in to everything. Compromise on silly stuff or earthly things. But if you compromise on truth, is anybody hearing me? Hallelujah, Jesus. Nat's telling Vladi, yeah, thank you. Wave that. Hallelujah. Hey, guys, I appreciate y'all so much. None of us are big shots. I'm not the big shot here. I just love you. Hallelujah. Let's go get our kids and receive communion together. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Marty and Rex, come and help with this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Joe, you and Robert, take that over there, would you please? And just set it over here. Hallelujah. Those of you that are at home, get ready. By the way, I'm not mandating. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit just said, give them opportunity. Man, we've been all 3 or 4 weeks on Sunday night. Hey, I just work here. I love Sunday nights. I'm not trying to get out of them. But I would encourage you, after lunch, turn that on and watch it throughout the day. I've got my recorder set. I think it's worth recording. Hallelujah. So come one, come all, and receive this. And just stand. We'll receive it together. All of you that are watching, we love you so much. Forever you.
bow my knee and worship you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, he said that he had received of the Lord that the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it, and when he'd given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me." This is the remembrance, Lord, that your body was broken, that our bodies physically do not have to be. This is what we remember. The first breaking of your body was the blood in Gethsemane. Blood coming off the brow. Those of you that have been having an emotional struggle or mental struggle, the blood that came out of the cranial area of his body symbolizes the blood that was shed for emotional difficulties. That's part of the breaking of his body, the bread. Lord, we claim freedom in our minds. None of the devils against revival will have any ability to inflict or afflict the minds of your people in these last days. We also remember that just as Israel exited Egypt and there was not one feeble among them, here's our supernatural. Here's our supernatural that we all, what is unbelievable to the natural mind, we cast off. A hope against hope is where we stand. This broken body, Lord, is broken, and we do it in remembrance that all of us are healed. Not one infirmity remains for the revivalist and those who claim. Your body was broken, and we remember that it was broken and divided that we don't have to be. We pray for unity, Jesus. The supernatural unity that comes among the brethren that brings one mind and one accord. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus, and we eat the bread together, the broken body. You may eat. Paul said, in like manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." We remember your blood, the piercing of your side and the nails, the eternal blood of a spotless lamb. "For let a man examine himself, so shall he eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, not discerning the Lord's body." We have rightfully discerned, Lord, that your body was broken. I took the first communion, my private communion, this morning before daylight on a bended knee in my office, and I don't say that for theatrics or to impress you, but I bent my knee, and I know that what I said was something of your heart as well, because I, like all of you, have went through my own battles in recent days. But you know what I said? I said, "Jesus, I will not quit." And somebody said, "Well, I know where that's..." No, I'm talking about I won't stop going in with every single ounce of my being. And that's you. He's not going to neutralize us. He's not going to stop us with sickness. with battles of all sorts. Would you say that with me? Jesus, I make this commitment to you. In your blood, I will not quit. I'll never quit. I'll never stop. I will be part of this group that receives revival. Does she have one? Take the cup. We're going to drink this today for the worldwide revival. One more confession. Would you say, Jesus, I together with the worldwide body of Christ drink your blood in confession for revival. Let it start now. Let the power of God rage on planet Earth. Jesus, wash me clean. If there's anything then that's less than the image of Christ, forgive me, Lord. Wash me. I'll never quit. Let's drink together. I don't know when I've enjoyed a better day than this. Things are happening. Harry, lead us one more time in this. The Bible says they sing a hymn and went out. We're going to sing a hymn and we're going to go out. Watch the service today. I encourage you. Hallelujah. Sing this.
And the angels cry.
You're dismissed as you will.
Holy,
we love you, online church.
All
have a wonderful day.
Cries, holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Yes, hear your people sing. You will always be holy.